Welcome to Our Redeemer's Lutheran Church in Helena, Montana. We're a member church of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Today is Sunday, September 8th, 2019, and it's the start of the school year again, so welcome back to everyone. Today's gospel reading is Luke 14, verses 25 through 33. Let's listen now as Pastor Arnie Berglund reads that gospel, followed by a sermon.
Even life itself cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not first sit and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, "This fellow began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. The Gospel of the Lord. Beloved of God, grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And before I begin, I should have, when I welcomed you this morning, made mention of a really exciting class that's going to be taking place here on Sundays at 2 o'clock that Deacon Carol Will is teaching, called Making Sense of the Christian Faith. Carol's here this morning if you want to talk to her about that between services in the fellowship or the great room. I'm sure she would appreciate it. And now, our church is back on the fall schedule, a schedule that comes with the new school year. And for the most part, our vacations are done, our families are home, and traditionally it is a time in the life of a faith community that people come together, start coming back to worship more on a regular basis than they did during the summer when they're out in Montana enjoying all sorts of activities. And so then we read from the Gospel of Luke this good news. Jesus says, whoever does not hate their families and even life itself cannot be my disciples. Well, there you go. These are words to encourage us to commit ourselves to coming back to worship, to coming back to church. How strange it is that this is the gospel that we read on such a Sunday, but there you have it. The Gospel of Luke is full of words of caution about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. The task for you this morning, this is important, the task for you this morning is to figure out how to receive this lesson seriously without taking it literally. Luke tends to present Jesus as one who speaks in very provocative ways in order to get our attention. Now, if there's ever a reason not to pull out a single passage out of Scripture to define our faith, this one is it. I do not believe that Jesus is really encouraging us to hate our families and our lives, but rather to say to us, stop, look, listen, think about your priorities and what it means to follow. Jesus uses words that are harsh and unreasonable, and in that provocative manner, he wants to speak to the idea of commitment to faith. In particular, he wants the crowds that he is speaking to understand that commitment to the faith carries with it a cost. There is a cost to be a disciple of Christ. Now, if I asked you what you think a commitment is, what would you say? I would hear things like a commitment is where you put your energy or something you stick to even in bad times or in good, something that takes some higher priority in your life. If I asked you what the cross means to you, what would you say? I would probably hear things like the cross means something about sacrifice or suffering or forgiveness of sin or bearing a heavy burden. Now, if I asked you what it means to follow the cross, what would you say? I might hear things like, I pray, or I go to church, or I read my Bible, or maybe I might just hear a lot of silence because you don't know how to answer the question. There's an old joke that goes something like this. What do you get when you cross a Mormon with a Lutheran? Someone who knocks on the door but doesn't know what to say. Perhaps it has something to do with the fact that we as Lutherans spend a whole lot of more time talking about grace than we do about commitment. We do that for good reasons, but in some ways we miss out on this idea of what it means to be committed. And so in some ways, perhaps when we read this lesson from the 14th chapter of Luke, maybe that's why we feel a little bit uncomfortable. For Luke, what does it mean to carry your cross? It could mean to carry the burdens of those for whom Jesus has released from burden. It could mean to carry the ministry of Jesus forward by seeing those whom the world has overlooked. It could mean that. It could mean favoring and regarding those who the world tends to throw out, even when that action might come with some disapproval from the community in which you live. If the cross is only a means for your salvation, you've missed the point, especially because here in Luke 14, the cross hasn't even happened yet. Carrying the cross at this juncture in Luke's story has to be put in the context of what has come before and not set in the context of the hindsight of this idea that we know the end of the story. Our theology, our confessions, our traditions are all based on our knowing the end of the story. But for the Gospel of Luke, in the 14th chapter, carrying your cross cannot be located in the suffering and death and sacrifice of Christ, because the cross has not happened yet. If today's sermon had a title, most pastors might call this sermon The Cost of Discipleship. What does it mean for us to follow Jesus? What does faith commitment cost? So is it really a cost? Or is it a choice? Thank you, Deuteronomy 30. When it's all about cost, it's all about what you give up, it's all about what you sacrifice, what you deny. When faith is cast as cost, we become rather ignorant of the fact that life itself is costly. Not just our faith life. Life itself is full of choices, of counting the costs, of weighing the cost. The cross is not unique in that way. But rather, it is representative of what all of our life is. To carry your cross is to carry the choices, the burdens, the realities of life that is made with a certain commitment. A commitment to a way of life that is committed to bringing about the kingdom of God in the here and now. God's work, our hands. That's certainly what it meant for Jesus. What a different way of being it would be if the cross were a way of choosing life and not fixating on death. In fact, if Luke is right, carrying the cross might result in life for another. Now, that's not to say that Jesus' death doesn't matter. It's to push how and why it matters, I think. How is the cross, especially for Luke, flying in the face of the empire in which Jesus lived? A promise of God seeing us does not end in our death and burial. A certainty that release of the captives is past, present, and future reality, but that future depends on our choice to carry the cross of Jesus. So carrying the cross is a choice, and ironically, I think, it's a choice for life, not death. Choosing the cross does not so much mean death and sacrifice, but rather life. So here's the challenge. We tend towards seeing the cross as a choice of life because it leads to the resurrection, yes and no. That is what God has done in Christ, defeated death, undone death. But no, if that reality has no bearing on our present reality, if we ignore the challenges of the disciples of Jesus' first followers, just because we know how the story ends, how Jesus goes to the cross and is resurrected from the dead, does not mean that we should think that those first believers knew anything about that. The cross had yet to happen. Jesus was talking to them from that context, in that reality. So what if carrying the cross is about choosing life? And if the cross is that, if the cross is choosing life, how can your life and mine, or how can our disciples be a witness to such a decision? Maybe, just maybe, then we can be set free to see the choice not as some future reward, but rather as an opportunity to live life, to practice life, to practice faith in the here and the now. Maybe that frees you and me to understand what Jesus said he would do when at the beginning of his ministry, in the fourth chapter of Luke, Jesus quoted the prophets and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has set me to proclaim release to the captives and to recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." In choosing to follow the cross, we are set free from death to life in order that we might be God's hands and feet in the world. In the end, it is not about who suffers the most or who is most loyal to the cause. On one hand, Jesus makes it very difficult to be his disciples. These words from our gospel today are hard to swallow. It will cost us everything. And we need to know that the cost, we need to know that cost before we jump in. On the other hand, Jesus has made it almost impossible to be his disciples on our own abilities, with our own will. And when we confess, "I cannot," then we are open for God's, "I can and I will." If this large crowd that Jesus spoke to, like many people in our pews, think that they have decided to follow Jesus, perhaps we need to dampen that enthusiasm and redefine our theology by making the demands of discipleship so difficult or impossible for anyone to actually make a decision in that way, but at the same time, proclaiming the grace of God that opens the door for us to follow. In his book, Power Surge, Michael Foss lists 6 marks of a discipleship for a changing church, which he says practicing life entails. Daily prayer, weekly worship, Bible reading, service in and beyond a congregation, spiritual friendships, and giving of time, talents, and resources. The cost of discipleship, commitment to sharing the good news of God's love in Jesus Christ. These costs have nothing to do with a legalistic, law-oriented approach to Christian faith. The purpose is not to create super Christians or any kind of spiritual elite. No one earns salvation or gains special favor from God by practicing those marks. They're simply habits of the soul that open us up to the wonder, to the mystery of God's active presence in our lives, so that we can be set free from fear and death, set free to choose life, to do God's work with our hands. These simple marks are concrete examples about how following the cross is a choice for life, a choice grounded in God's love, grounded in God's desire for our world.